turn to Numbers chapter 21, verse 16. Numbers 21:16, and from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, and the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Mattanah. This well is supposed to be spoken of in Isaiah 15 verse 8 as Beer Egelaim, which means, if they're right in their derivations, the well of the heroes. It's also in Jewish legend, which says that this is the well that Miriam found, and that it followed them through the desert, and that after this it was swallowed up in the waters of the Sea of Galilee. Now, leaving aside what we don't know, what we do know is here in this verse, Beer Elim. And what we know is that if you look at Allenby's advance across Palestine, you will find that he had to stick to the roads, and that hampered his advance greatly. Today, with balloon tires and half tracks and track vehicles, you can carry on across desert in straight lines, but you couldn't in the First World War. And when Moses was told by God to take Canaan, he advanced by the proper route, but was frustrated by the evil of the spies, who came back with a bad report, and had to march 38 years more through the wilderness, round around to here. And here he's ending his journey. Now, he wanted to go through Edom, but Edom wouldn't let him. And for that, God cursed them. And God put a curse upon them right through the ages. Be very sure you never take sides against the Jews. God said to Abraham, blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. And that is happening. You either bless or curse the Jew, and there is no halfway in it. Now, that is what happened. And God is very clear in the matter. He put a curse on Edom, and Edom ceased to exist in the end. Now, this was the southern border of Edom, and you'll find that chapter in Isaiah speaks of a cry that went up from one border to the other, and this was one extreme border, the Beer Elaim. Now, this water wasn't visible. Moses had gone through the brooks of Arnon, and they must have had plenty of water. He'd been through Oboth, which means bottles, not bottles like you think of, but skins full of water, and the people must have had plenty of water there. Now, when you march through life, God is changing your circumstances. Age changes circumstances, health changes, and everything changes. And the reason is that God has a good reason for changing your circumstances. Now, the circumstances he took up here are suddenly to march them out of plenty of water into a place there was none. Now, the people had murmured and had been bitten by serpents, and now they're face to face with waterlessness. The first times that had happened at Marah and other places, they'd complained bitterly. Be sure you don't get a grumbling spirit. There is a grumbling spirit. Some people I know, I can't speak to them without everything looking depressed and down and grumbly. It's always grumbling. Always grumbling. God hears our grumbles. And God deals with us according to our grumbles. So as they grumbled away and murmured and complained, God marched them straight out into the desert and brought them to a place where they badly needed water and there was none. Now, learn a lesson. If you've never learnt it before, get a new song in your mouth and praise God. Don't condemn other people for having got you there, and don't you say, whatever you do, that it's right to complain against God. Now, the whole thing shows us our own failure and weakness very well. Now, the next thing to learn from this is God said, gather the people together. When God gathers the people together, he gives water. It's only a very simple statement, but the water comes from him. And if he will give water, well, it's because he's gathered us. And no one saved by the cleverness or strength of their arm or anything else. It's not anything like that. God gives water. He said, gather the people unto me and I will give them water. And that is what he says Sunday by Sunday to us. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day here. Because he's promised us water if we'll gather together. Gather them. That's what God wants done. God deals in companies like this in a way he does not deal in the great cathedrals, in the way he does not deal when we come on our own in our own private times. You are not able to take hold of God when you're alone. Oh, you can take hold of him in a selfish sort of way, but what about the rest? God wants you here, here, here. And that's what he says, gather my people unto me and I will give them water. And that is something that Christians in this land have failed to learn completely. God gathers us. We don't gather ourselves. This assembly is not gathered by man, it's gathered by God. And what we want is to gather the people to God, and he will give them water. I believe the gospel goes out with a power which it doesn't have in your house. It doesn't have when you're alone. It doesn't have when you don't come. It has that power when we're together. Because the Holy Spirit is given to all of us. One may speak, but all mean it, and everybody speaks together. Now that is what this verse is telling us, and it's telling us very plainly these things. Now, if you want God to give you water, know your Bible. Get to know it. You say, well, I have great difficulty. In Morocco, we dealt with illiterate people. We're up in the mountains, we're among the Berbers, they were illiterate. But we didn't baptize anybody until they could read. And the reason was, they couldn't stand as Christians if they couldn't read. Because they didn't get any Bible. And you cannot teach the Bible from a pulpit. A Bible is learned on your own private feelings, when you're alone, when you take time with the Bible, day by day, hour by hour. That is how a Bible comes, so that, as Bunyan put it, your blood runs bibline. That's how the Bible is learned. Now, it's no use saying the church didn't teach me the Bible. You didn't teach yourself. You've had a life the same as everybody else. Why didn't you? Now, that is very important indeed. That God expects us to learn the Bible. Now, these people had had plenty. When they cried for bread, they got manna. When they cried for flesh, they got quails, until it came out of their nostrils, it says. They got so much of it. God gave them all they wanted. When they cried for water, they got it. But this time, it was different. Now, whatever way you are heading through life, God knows your circumstances. God hasn't changed because your circumstances have changed. And therefore the God who brought you into this world will guide you through this world, and he will provide that you go to Beer Eglaim and there's nothing there, and he will provide. That is a very simple lesson. They're such simple things, aren't they? But they're very important. Our God is our provider. This God shall be our God even unto death. He won't leave us, nor forsake us, nor will all the evil things you're thinking about happen to you. You know the old story, don't you? The Christian who was asked by a young Christian if he'd ever had any troubles in life. He sighed and he said, yes, and most of them never happened. And that is the simple truth of our lives. Most of the things you're worrying about will never come. I see people get into terrible flaps and rouse everybody up. And the things never happen and aren't going to happen. You've got to trust. So then, here we are. God meets whatever need it is. Now the next thing about this is this. God gave water in abundance. Moses had on his hands, it says 600,000 footmen. Now if you take their wives and their children and the hangers-on, there were many hangers-on, because other races who were enslaved by the Egyptians had joined in behind them. Now when you take that lot, it's reckoned there's somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. Now have you ever been in a desert, real desert, where there's nothing? Deserts don't consist of sand mainly. Mainly it's rock or just under the surface. Well, God had brought all this huge company all this way, and there they were waterless. And that is a great lesson for you and me. God can provide in abundance. And I would like to say something. This is personal testimony as well as scripture. There failed not aught of any good thing that the Lord had promised and had spoken unto the house of Israel. God has never failed me yet. I have failed God many times in my life, but God has never once let me down. He has never made me hungry, or left me waterless, or left me clothesless, or left me without a house, or left me in the hand of temptation and Satan. He's never done these things, and he won't for you. I can testify, looking back over life, that God has never let me down. And I have let him down many occasions. And that is God. Well now, here they are at the end of their desert wanderings, standing there over bare sand and rock, looking at the floor with nothing to drink. And they and their flocks and their herds, a huge number of them. How are they going to drink? Well now, I'll tell you what they did. They sang. And that's what they did. They sang a song. Now I want you to turn with me to Revelation. And to turn to it, chapter 15, because this is a song that we sing. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 2. And this is what it says. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And we sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And they sang at the wellhead. And I want you to sing today. To sing and lift up your voice to God. Because God has provided the future. And the only thing standing that's stopping you is your lack of faith. You have little faith. I have very little faith, I'm sure of it. But there it is. Everything is provided. All of it. And God is saying that we are to lift up our voice and sing, though not a drop of water appears anywhere. And that's very hard when you're ill or when you can't see the way ahead. I've seen people, I actually saw this, an astronomer who'd been to the Arctic, I think, and looked at one of the astronomical events, I don't know what, when I was a child, he and his wife, and they committed suicide. They lived just across from us in North Devon. And the reason they did it was they were old and they felt that they had no future in life. So they committed suicide. What a waste of life. I remember he used to teach my brother astronomy and show him through his telescopes and things. Those things happen. But you're not like that, unless you admit to me publicly that you have no faith at all. Have you got faith? Well then sing. Sing at the wellhead. Sing before there's any well. Sing on the sand. Sing when you've got all your flocks and herds and a huge multitude without water. That's the time to sing. When faith sings, that is what you should be doing all the time, in the darkness of the night and in the burning heat of noonday. You sing. Now that's what they did. And Israel sang this song. So then, when they sang, God gave them a great and mighty deliverance. And that deliverance is written here. Now, the critics, bless their souls, believe this bit of this story. They don't believe the rest. They believe this because they say this is ancient. Let them go and let them stew in their own juice. They're dated and they're hopeless. But what I say about this is this. This is the word of God. You heard what tradition says, what all this silly nonsense that goes on, but you never have to doubt God's word. God meant every word of it. God doesn't mean that some of it he intends to give you and some not. He never wrote anything that he didn't deliver. Now, when did you last read of Israel singing in the desert? Think. Well, it was when Moses crossed the Red Sea and Miriam took a timbrel and led the women and they sang. That's the last time they sang here. Oh, I'll tell you the other time they sang. Yes, you may remember it. When Moses was a long time up the mount and they got Aaron to make them two golden calves and then they took off all their clothes and sang drunken lewd orgies. They sung all right then. But this is the first time you'll hear them singing to God since Miriam and the women sang after they'd been delivered from the Egyptians and crossed the Red Sea. And here they sang, if you can get your mouth to sing, you will be a better person. If you can rouse your faith from this terrible abysmal looking for everything wrong, then you will begin to get somewhere in life. For God. You see, let's take it here. You'll have every need met. And so they sang because they knew. They sang through parched lips, but they sang. Now, I often sing this song to myself when I'm on my own. Begone unbelief, the Saviour is near. And that is something that we sing against unbelief. So when unbelief is rising in your heart and you're saying, well, just a minute, caution, caution, we must be very sure that this fits with all our petty, footling ideas as a man. And if it fits that, then God will do it. And if it doesn't fit that, then God won't do it. Just forget you're a 30. Just forget you're useless at it. You can't see the future. You can't see the past. You're not half as clever as you think you are. Not a quarter. You've made many messes in life and will make many more. God knows. God has the way ahead. And God says that we're to sing. So sing. And let the whole rest go and sing where there's nothing to sing about. That's the lesson of the well. And that's what they did. Spring up, O well, sing ye to it. Now, at that point, singing can be a prayer. Because if you look at this, they're singing with nothing there, and what they're singing is this. The princes digged the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. That's the song they're singing. Have you ever heard singing in the Middle East? What they do is they sing ordinary words. One of them invents it and the others just sing along with them. And the one leading replies and they all sing together. And you'll hear them singing lots and lots of times in the villages and wherever they go, they sing. We are a songless people. We are a people always looking for the disaster just round the corner, which is certain to come unless my clever way is followed. Your clever way. Your clever way. Oh, what a hoot. What an idea that somehow we are more clever than God. Well, let's just forget the matter and trust God. This is a prayer. And our singing is a prayer. And when we sing, we pray. Oh yes. People who really sing, really pray. You'll read the prayers of the early church in Acts, and you'll find that their psalms they're singing with all their heart, with the words of Scripture. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be able to sing like that. To be able to sing out loud to God. And you see, that brought answers from God. And it brought tremendous growth to the church. What we need is singing. And what we need is singing from the heart. They call America the singing nation. The West Indies boast that they sing at every graveside and they sing on their hillside and they gather in huge choirs and sing. We need to sing, to have a different attitude to singing. Now here it is. So singing was because they trusted God that he would do it. Now, I want you to show you something that the singing isn't. The singing wasn't to encourage the nobles to dig, or to encourage the lawgiver. They weren't singing about what they could see. They were singing about something they couldn't yet see. Water. Now, a lot of our prayers give up too soon. We give up because we don't see an answer, and we say this is useless, but what is needed is prayer that goes on and on and on. Prayer that knocks until it is opened. That's the prayer we need. Their lessons are so simple from this, aren't they? Anyone could get them from themselves at home, but God doesn't give them at home. He gives the water when people gather together. And God won't give you the water alone. God gives it when you're gathered together. That's how he does it. Now, just pray. Jesus is the water of life. And he said to the Samaritan woman that if she would drink of this water, she would never thirst again. Now, just remember this, that you have the water of life, and you are to pray until others taste and drink of that water. They may not join us. I don't blame them if they don't. But what they must do is get into somewhere where Christ is worshipped and adored. We need to pray for water to come for these people. The Lord Jesus himself. Jesus stood up on that last day, the great day of the feast, and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Have you drunk of Jesus? Does he satisfy your thirst? Can you really say to me, Jesus satisfies without any shadow of doubt? He satisfied me. He satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I don't know anything else or anyone in the world who can satisfy like Jesus. He is the water of life. Now come to him and drink. It's so simple. But God pours out the water when we're gathered together. And that's what it is. Now, ask God then that he'll help you. Look with me at John chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7. And verses 37 to 39. 37 to 39. And we'll look at it together, because it's better to see things written in God's word and know they're really there and I'm not twisting anything. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, his inmost parts, shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Oh, how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. He gives his Holy Spirit. Have you received God's Holy Spirit? Do you know God's Holy Spirit welling up inside you? This well of water should be a well springing up to everlasting life. It goes on and on through life and through death, and it never, never ceases to satisfy, so that beyond the grave, it'll still be our song, the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Worthy art thou, O Lord, for thou hast redeemed us to God out of every nation, tongue and tribe. Oh, we're God's people, and what we have to sing about, we have everything. Now, these things are very clear. When we come to a prayer meeting, we do not come with one eye on the clock, and the other, and every ear critical of other people's prayers. We do not come so as people can hear us pray. We come when we come to a prayer meeting, bringing with us the living water. And it bubbles up from us, and what we pray is the living water coming from us. This spake he of his Holy Spirit. That's how prayer meetings take place. Not as dull affairs where people force themselves into a room and sit and pray about things they don't really care about. I know some people who, when they go to a prayer meeting, the whole place lights up because the water of life bubbles out. That's what we long for in prayer, that there should be that deep, deep prayer in the Spirit. And that's what there was here. So those ancient Israelites prayed, and they prayed by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. And this prayer of theirs pleased God, so that he had it written down, so that future ages might learn. And now they worked. What did they do? Well, now, if you were to tell me to take a stick or a stave and dig a well, I would tell you you were wasting your time, and I would look very stupid in front of everybody digging away with a stick. But these nobles, who weren't like the nobles under Ezra and Nehemiah, who didn't put their backs to the work, like the nobles Drake took with him when he went round the world, who refused to work with the sailors and draw the ropes until he had to threaten to hang them unless they did it. The fact is, these nobles here took their staves at the direction of the lawgiver and dug a well. How they dug it, I do not know. But that's what they did. They did it with sticks. Now, the most unlikely instruments God uses to dig his wells and bring his water up, bubbling up. But you are only a stick, most unusable, most stupid looking of God to choose you to, and me, to have anything to do with this gospel. And yet God has done it. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. God provided the needs of those millions through Moses and the lawgiver, bringing the water out of that well. How God provides. May God do so again. Amen.